Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Analysis with over 70 years combined experience. This is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast.
NBA, some college, a little bit of everything.
You know, what can I say? But it wasn't going to happen here with him.
You know, this is one of the proudest moments I've ever had in my illustrious career. Not only have I been able to work with the greats like Trenny Kuznarek, Trenny Casey, Donnie Marshall, Tommy Heinsohn, and Mike Gordon.
Donnie. Yeah.
You know, just a list,
a
plethora of legends. Then to be graced with the presence of one Jimmy Toscano, I'll give you a little background. Jimmy Cassano, Toscano, also known as Jimmy Canada.
Yes.
Came to us at a Comcast Sportsnet is just, well, I would say like a wide-eyed,
bushy-tailed
experience, but that wouldn't be true. No, Jimmy came in as a wise ass know-it-all who we all came to adore after a lot of patience.
Adore is one word. Yeah.
And it is great to have him back again here. He's filling in for the great Bob Ryan, who's on assignment. So big shoes to fill.
Words I never thought I would hear.
Yeah, you and me both.
Can I say this real quick, Gary, and thank you for that kind intro. I got a text last week. My phone buzzes. Gary Tangway. It's like, Jimmy, Gary Tangway here. Wonder if you can fill in for
why
Bob
does everybody
Ryan.
Why does everybody have to do that voice? I mean, everywhere.
I can't read a text from you without it being in your voice, and it's only you. Everyone else, I'm just reading it on my own, but for you, it's in your voice. But if you had told like 15-year-old Jimmy Toscano that he was going to get one day get a text from Gary Tangway asking him to fill in for Bob Ryan, I think my head would have popped off in that moment. So I greatly appreciate it. I am honored. Actually, to kick it with you for a bit, and I miss you, man. I miss a lot of the people over there. Those were the glory days.
We had a good time.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll ever get back to that. You know,
we had a good time over there at Comcast Sports, at NBC Sports Boston. But we move on.
We do.
But Jimmy is one of the good ones, and we are sponsored by FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Networks. Score this NFL season with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 moneyline bet. That's $150 if your team wins. All right, Jimmy, getting to work here.
Real quick, Gary, before we get serious. I don't think we ever will get serious, but before we start, I'm just telling everybody on our podcast, it's the easiest bet of your life. You just bet a money line on whoever the Patriots are playing that week. Because you're guaranteed to get that bonus bet if you do that.
That's so true. By the way, we may kick it with a little Patriots at the end because I have a theory. Okay. Anyways, but the latest news, Jason Tatum came out on the Point Forward podcast with Andre Iguodala and Evan Turner. Evan Turner, a former teammate of Tatum, of course, played with the Celtics.
Great guy.
Very good guy. And Tatum said, quote, "I did not understand how special the place Boston was until I got here." And it's just really good to hear because, listen, Boston's not easy. I understand it. It has its warts, just like a lot of other cities, Philadelphia, New York, Washington, D.C. We all have our warts, believe me. But I think that Boston has really embraced Tatum, and I'm glad he feels the same way.
Very glad. The last few years, I feel like we've all collectively, Celtics fans, Bostonians, have been waiting for like him to say stuff like that. And you want to feel like, as tough as Boston is, we're very simple in the sense where if you love us, we're going to love the hell out of you, right? If you play hard, we're going to love you. If you embrace the culture, we're going to love you. And so I feel like in the beginning, it's a lot harder for these young guys to come in here when they're not familiar with the city. They're, you know, maybe they're from out west or wherever.
Sure. And it has a reputation over the years, you know, sure. and it, quite honestly, some of it deserves.
Sure. You know, but to hear him admit that it took him for a little bit, but he gets it and he's embracing it. And he understands that, you know, by putting in the work, by winning a championship, that's all that matters, right, in the end. And it was refreshing to hear that. You want to feel like these guys are playing for you and playing for the city. And I think, at least with Tatum, we're at that point now where he gets it. He shows up. He knows that on any given night, he has to, you know, bring it. There's really no days off. You get to a certain point in status, superstar status, where you just got to show up game in, game out, because there's a lot of people counting on you.
But I see him doing it in many ways. This year, I see a difference. I see a leader. I see a player that's willing to fill in where he's needed, whether it's rebounding or assists. And I also think he has a better team around him. I think he has guys that he can depend on. I mean, obviously, Porzingis is big. White is stepped up his game.
Unreal.
Holiday will get into him in a minute. He's still finding his way. So Tatum, to me, he looks... It's all coming together for Tatum in my eyes as the complete package, the leader, the on the court leader, the guy that is not just looking for his shot, the guy that is playing better defense, distributing the ball, running the plays, making other players better, looking to rebound, assist, and so forth. To me, he's the complete player this year. And I think that's why the city has embraced him so much and why he feels the love.
I think that, yeah, he's playing a much more complete game. You know, the first few years in the league, you knew that the talent was there.
Right.
But it felt like it was like hard work for him to like score. It felt like everything was work. Getting to the basket was a lot harder. He wasn't going to the line as much. He wasn't looking to go to the line. He was settling for those contested fadeaway jumpers. He had almost like a slow release. Everybody knew when he was going up with a shot. Now you'll see a lot more. At least I've noticed a lot more. He's slicing and dicing his way to the hoop. Almost kind of reminds me of Pierce a little bit, right? And that's been the comparison that we've, you know, I don't know if it's how accurate it is, but I see it a lot more now. Pierce was so good at getting to the line and driving to the hoop, getting contact and finishing. And now it almost feels like Tatum's got all these different post moves that he, I don't know if it was just like a point of emphasis in the offseason, whether it went along with him bulking up a bit, he's gotten stronger. And obviously the maturity, you know, I mean, you come into the league at 19, jumped onto a team that had, you know, basically had championship aspirations when you came into the league, which is tough when you're a young guy. A lot of these young guys that are destined for greatness, they jump on teams in the beginning that are bad because they're top picks. The Celtics, you know, Danny Ainge finagled his way up there and ended up with him. So he's at a point now in his career where he's been through the ups and downs of, you know, being right there, being really close to win a championship and then being thoroughly disappointed. He's been on teams where they've underachieved. He's been criticized and he hears it. And now I think he's at the point where he can sort of bottle all that up and use it to his advantage. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing now.
Well, I have been worried, despite the fact that he could make more money here with the super max and the super duper triple double,
yeah, right,
extra wide max to Jaylen Brown.
Don't ask me to make sense of that.
I mean, you know, I mean, I look at the money that Jaylen Brown got, and good for Jaylen, but then I go, wow, you know, would Tatum ever leave to go to Los Angeles? Because we know he loves the Lakers and grew up loving Kobe. Would he ever go to the West Coast once his deal was up and take less money? And probably not, because that's a lot of dough that's tough to turn down. But now, after he's made these statements, Jimmy, I feel the guy's invested, not only financially, but emotionally as well.
Yeah, I mean, who knows 10 years from now? But I think I wouldn't
know. But I mean, he had two or three or whenever the deal's up.
Right. So
know,
that's, I mean, yeah,
I mean,
years,
yeah, I mean, you know, if things aren't going well here, I want to go play where Kobe played. Well, you're going to make less money. Well, so what? LeBron took less money to go to Miami. But now I don't think he's a flight risk. I always worried a little bit that he was.
That's what I mean. So like we can't project 10 years from now, but I think right now we can say with pretty good confidence that he wants to be here. It would be completely foolish to, you know, take anything less than the absolute most that you can make. He's in a great situation.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, he's got guys around him now that, let's be honest, these guys should win a championship. This core should win a championship.
I agree. I mean, they have as good a chance in the next couple of years as anybody.
Yeah, I don't think it's a huge, huge window with this core, because I do think they're going to have some financial hoops to jump through, whether it's Holiday, Porzingis, Brown. I mean, the Brown contract is we can do a whole separate podcast on that someday. We'll get John Zanis on for that one. That'll be a lot of fun. but the point is, yeah, Tatum's going to take that max extension, and he's going to be here for quite some time. They're going to build around him. They have to do everything they can. They have to give him the Giannis treatment at some point. Then they will, you know, where they pretty much have to do whatever they can to keep the guy here, right? So, but listen, in that same interview, that podcast interview that came out, Gary, they asked him like who his favorite players are, or who the best players are of all time, and I think he listed five Lakers. He listed Magic, Kareem, Kobe, Shaq. You know, maybe it was just four, but point is, he obviously has a fandom to the Lakers and to Kobe and you know all that stuff. So, but listen, right now, all things are good in Celtics land with Tatum, and I think we just have to ride that wave as long as we can.
Okay, so now let's get to. I want to get to the Indiana game. The Celtics were bounced. I've had conversations with Mr. Goodman and Mr. Ryan, and I keep saying, look, should we be worried about the Pacers at all? And no. And I know it's the in-season tournament, but boy, I got to tell you, and I had some second guessing of Joe, you know, Mazzulla, and the way he handled the substitutions in that game. But I got to tell you, the Pacers really laid the wood to the Celtics that night. And I don't think they're better than the Celtics. And they're obviously not in the same class as Milwaukee. Bob Ryan thinks Philadelphia and Boston. But the Pacers worry me. They worry me. You?
Completely fair. I mean, yeah, they worry me in the sense where, okay, like, if you want to stack up talent versus talent, no, they're not as talented. And in the NBA, in most cases, talent wins out.
Especially in a series.
Right, but Gary, yeah. let's not forget, when the Celtics lost in the playoffs previous years, they lost to a less talented team
Miami.
In the Heat. Yeah. And I think there's some similarities, because Miami plays hard, and the Pacers, they're going to need to play hard. They're going to need to play a little bit more physical. They're a team that wants to run up and down the court and maximize their offensive output. I obviously get that, but they need to bang a little bit more down low. And if they play with that like tenacity and determination that we saw against the Celtics, they worry me, because they're the type of team that could push you to seven games. If the Celtics don't bring it, then yeah, they'll get outworked. I mean, and the thing that the Pacers have now that they didn't have before is the confidence. They've seen it.
Well,
now they believe it.
Yeah, right? They got a guy, Tyrese Haliburton, so much fun to watch.
He's unreal.
It was such a fun game. I was a little upset as a Celtic fan that the Celts lost, but that was such a fun game to watch.
Great game. And you know what? The whole thing was the Pacers, you know, they obviously don't have, they didn't have the star talent. Now they do with Haliburton, but they don't get the national recognition. So the one thing that this in-season tournament does is it puts a team like the Pacers in the spotlight. Now they're going to Vegas. Now they're getting a taste of big game atmosphere, elimination style game. So when the playoffs do come around and the Pacers do make the playoffs, because it seems like they're going to, as a, let's say they make it as a 6, 7, or 8 seed, they're not showing up like, you know, Jimmy Toscano did back at CSN, wide eyed and completely unaware of what he's getting himself into. They have some experience. So I think that's a reason to be, I wouldn't say scared, but my antennas are up. Let's put it that way. I think it was like when the Celtics lost to the Timberwolves earlier this year. You're like, holy crap, this Timberwolves team is awesome.
Right.
And now look at them. They got the best record in the West. So you gotta trust your eyes, Gary. And you can't deny that what you saw a couple earlier in the week against the Pacers was a team that is starting to figure it out, whether it's Haliburton, whether it's our old friend there. Blanking on his name. Celtics traded.
They drafted him. I just blanked too. Thanks, Jimmy. You jinxed us. But yeah, everybody knows who we're talking about.
Yeah. Everybody knows.
Everybody knows who we're talking about.
I'm looking it up because it's
Oh, I know.
Everyone pause for station identification here.
Well, that's okay. We can
Neesmith. Aaron Neesmith.
Yeah, Aaron Neesmith. Yes.
But not only Neesmith did they get
Buddy Hield. He was ready to play.
Yeah, absolutely. Buddy Hield. How about this, Gary? How about Buddy Hield shooting that three-pointer at the buzzer when the game was already over? Buddy Hield shoots the garbage time buzzer. I love that. And I know that, you know, some fans might seem butthurt about it because it was one of those sort of like cheap shots that they didn't need to take. But that to me is, that's the mentality that you want to have. And I'm going to go off a little bit of a tangent here, if you don't mind.
Go ahead. Knock yourself out.
Last week, Celtics play the Bulls in the in-season tournament. They blow them out of the water, right? They win by whatever it was, 20-something. And after the game, you've got Jaylen Brown crying about it. You got Jrue Holiday crying about it. And then on the podcast that Tatum just went on, he was crying about it. These guys are upset that they have to run up the score and they feel it's against the, you know, it's against the code and the players like players and all this stuff. Listen, I understand what they're saying, but this tournament calls for that style of play. Right. It calls for a point differential. It's not disrespectful. Go in there with the killer mentality. I loved what Paul Pierce, I'm summarizing, but Paul Pierce said that if this in-season tournament was around when they were playing back in 08, they would have been blowing teams out of the water by 50 if that's what it took to walk away with the 500,000. So please, come off this like sort of high horse situation that this, you need to go in there, be an asshole, play more like assholes, Gary. That's my wish for this team is be the jerk. I loved what Mazzulla did. He did what he had to do. He played hack a Drummond. He ran up the score. And if the Bulls don't like it, then do something about it.
Well,
take it up with Adam Silver. But maybe put a better team out there. Maybe play harder. Do something. Don't count on the other team to take it easy on you. Not in the tournament. Okay. And so that's actually one of the things I liked about the tournament was that it kind of did allow for a little bit of a ruthlessness in it. So it made the regular season games more interesting. If that was the goal, then it succeeded. But if you're the Celtics, be pumped that you just blew a team out of the water and did what you had to do to advance and go in with that attitude against the Pacers. Maybe if you did, you wouldn't have collapsed in the second half. Maybe if you knew that you needed to win by 25 points, maybe you wouldn't have blown a 7-point lead at halftime because you would have been focused on blowing a team out of the water. So I think there's a mentality check that this team needs to have in order to go to the promised land where they want to be. You need to be killers all the time.
It's a good point because the concern when Marcus Smart left was, would they have that killer edge?
Yeah.
And I said, I thought they would, but based on what we saw in that Pacer game, the Pacers wanted it more. So I do think that the Celtics need to sharpen their edges, if you will. I think they can have it, but they also have to be aware in that third quarter. As we know, the Celtics in the third quarter, one of the worst teams in the league, right? So what I saw in that Pacers game, and I wonder about the substitution pattern. I think sometimes, and I thought Brad did this too, sometimes I think Brad and Joe leave Tatum on the bench too long. And I thought that was the case for the Pacers. I'm like, where's Tatum? Is Tatum hurt? What, did he get hurt? And did I miss, you know, Abby's report? What's going on? Where is he? How come he's not out here? Come on, guys, let's go. We got to get Tatum back in the game. I think they're too set in that fourth quarter rotation and resting their guys in the third quarter sometimes, and it can come back to bite them.
I think Joe does sometimes get caught up in letting the game play itself out too much, and he wants the players to figure it out, whether it's keeping guys in or keeping lineups in for a little bit too long or not calling that timeout to stop, you know, an in-game run, which – I think has driven a lot of fans mad over the last couple seasons. I think he does need to maybe be a little bit more aware of the situation they don't want Tatum averaging, you know, 35 minutes or whatever it is. They don't want him averaging.
I understand
You know, 40 minutes a game here, but they also, I think, are hoping, and it hasn't happened yet, Jaylen Brown should be able to lead a unit. And what we're seeing so far, based on the analytics, is that he hasn't been able to. Their offensive output drops significantly when it's, you know, Tatum in the second unit. I mean, sorry, when it's Brown in the second unit. So that's something that they're going to need to figure out how to address. And maybe when Porzingis comes back, that fixes itself, right? And maybe when Holiday, you know, if he's banged up a little bit, maybe that fixes itself. But right now, it's like, what, it's like Tatum needs to be in there to save the day, or you have situations like you had against Indiana.
Score early this NFL season with FanDuel. You know it's America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 money line bet. Look, if you're not good at math, you know that's a good deal. I mean, I'm not good at math, and I know that's a good deal. That's $150 if your team wins. If you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, there's no better time to get in on the action. The app is easy to use, so easy to use. There's a wide range of betting options, including spreads, player props, over-unders, and more. Visit FanDuel.com/Boston and kick off your NFL season. FanDuel, official partner of the NFL. All right, here we go, folks. Now pay attention to this. 21 plus and present in Massachusetts. Hope is here. First online real money wager only. $5 pregame money line wager required. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling helpline, ma.org, or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234. Okay, you hit on a lot of buttons. Let's start with Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown, to me, has peaked early. I thought we started to see a big advancement with him a couple of seasons ago. He was doing well in the playoffs. His regular seasons were okay, but in the postseason, he was stepping up. Mm-hmm. He hasn't become a better ball handler. I think he's a streaky shooter. He seems to do well at the beginning of games as opposed to the end of games. And I don't know if because of this contract, he has stopped working on his game. I'm not so shallow that I sit there and say he's a $300 million player. He should be playing like it. The economics are what they are. You know, I mean, there was a time when, who's the guy, the point guard from Memphis, Mike Conley? What's that?
Mike Conley?
Yeah, Mike Conley was like, for like a month, he was the highest played player in the NBA, right? I mean, you know, it's just the way it works.
Sure.
You know, Jaylen Brown is not worth that money.
It's laddering, yeah.
But they had to pay him. I think, unfortunately, right now with Jaylen, this is as good as he's going to get. And that's kind of concerning.
It's hard.
The ball handling's got to get better, dude.
Yeah,
and it's not. And that's just working at it.
You try to compartmentalize, right? Like, put the money aside and, like, what kind of player is he? It's hard to do that because he's taking up a ton of your cap, obviously. And he's somebody that if he doesn't play close to what he's getting paid, it's going to be hard to use him as an asset someday if they feel like they need to and whatever, you
know,
in a trade. So now I'll say this about Jaylen Brown. I think he works hard. I don't have any reason to believe that he's not putting in the work, whether it's in the offseason or in practice or whatever. I think he is who he is, though. He is one of the best scorers in the NBA. He can be one of the best finishers in the NBA. He's not one of the best shooters, but he's an athletic specimen. Yeah. He can score in multifaceted ways, but that's really what it is. So if he's on a team where his only role is to score and he does that, then you take that. But when he's put in situations where now he has to be a playmaker, right? Point Jaylen, point Tatum, all these points that they want to make everybody, he's not going to thrive there. He's not a great ball handler. He's not going to become one. And sometimes his decision-making is off. So that's when the turnovers start to creep up. The assist to turnover ratio is probably not even close to where you want it to be. We've seen the stats where, you know, he's gone, you know, I don't know. He'll go multiple games, for example, without an assist, like currently speaking right now. So those are definitely flaws in his game. And these are all the flaws that the Celtics knew when they agreed to give him that contract. And again, they were kind of stuck. We all agree that they were kind of stuck there. This is the guy they have. And he needs Porzingis. He needs Holiday and White, and he needs Tatum. And then he can become the guy that he's good at being, which is score.
Well, you're right. He's not the number – he'll never be a number one.
He'll never be a number one on a team that's going anywhere. Let's put it that way.
If Tatum's out, you go, we got to shut Brown down. You can.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah.
And that's
just
the problem.
You could just, you know, if you doubled him, I don't know how to get out of it.
Yeah. You know, to me, when I look at it now, I look at Tatum as the best player. I think Derek White's the second best player. I think Porzingis is the third. And then you have Jaylen Brown.
I think a lot of people would agree with that. I mean, White, we've seen just how good he can be. He's just an unbelievable two-way player, heady player. Had a tough one against Indiana, though. I think he had a really bad game there. Not sure what's up with that, but generally speaking, he's been their MVP this year. You know, I mean, obviously Tatum just got player of the month, so we get it. But I think where Derek White was traded to the Celtics, I know I was like, this guy stinks. Because he had a really bad finish to that season, and everyone kept saying, he's awesome. I was like, well, I haven't seen it. Last year was a different story. He really came on, especially in the second half, and he's just continued to go on this trajectory upwards where, yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue that Brown's certainly not playing better than him right now. We can definitely say that. But
how do you think Brown's doing defensively?
Average. I mean, he's so athletic.
He should be a lockdown defender.
Exactly. He's so gifted and athletic. And you just see him when he's on offense, he can do whatever he wants. He can get by anybody. He can throw down like the nastiest dunks in the game. And you would think that he would be more of, I'm not going to say lockdown, but so much of defense is effort and smarts, right? And
Jimmy, last year he said, give me Dwayne Wade. Take him away from Marcus. Give me Dwayne Wade. He should have that attitude every night.
Jimmy Butler.
He should have that attitude every night. And
then
he's worth it.
He should take pride in that. And a lot of guys in the league, not just Jaylen Brown, but a lot of guys don't take pride in defense anymore. This league's points towards offense. They do everything they can to create offense now. And just even 10 years ago, the difference in offensive output is just so much different than it was now. But if they spent a little more time and energy and effort and had some pride, like Drew Holiday, you know, that's why I loved the Drew Holiday signing. I was like, here's a guy that's going to lead by example on the defensive end. And he's still, he's had a slow start offensively, Drew Holiday has, not to switch subjects here, but defensively, he's still taking on the opponent's, you know, number one guy. He's still doing everything he can to lock down guys. Halliburton got the best of him. Again, he got the best of everybody earlier in the week. But
I mean, that guy, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm looking for more out of Jaylen Brown. I think we've seen a better defensive effort from Tatum, although I still think he can be better too. But I'm looking for more in the defensive end. And again, if you're Jaylen Brown, you should be looking for more ways that you can contribute. Because there's so much talent on this team offensively now. They don't need Jaylen Brown to score 30 a night anymore.
Right.
They do need him to play stronger defense. They do need him to make the smart pass. They do need him to not dribble into three defenders. They need him to do all those things. And if he does,
crazy.
Then no one's going to complain about Jaylen Brown.
And I think Jaylen, he should be first team all defense every year.
He could be.
You know, he really could be. I'm running out of patience with Holiday a little bit.
Are you?
Too
boy.
Hard. He seems to not be gelling quite enough yet. Maybe I'm expecting too much too soon.
I think the expectations are obviously very high when a guy of his caliber comes in. He's won a championship. He's played alongside Giannis. He's won awards for his defense, but he's not an offensive player. Not really an offensive minded player. And I think a lot of people maybe are unfamiliar or were unfamiliar with his game because let's be honest, we know the name, we watch the games, but we're not poring over Bucks highlights. We're not watching them, you know, on a game by game basis. If you're a regular NBA fan. And so you listen to, you see the highlights, you listen to the interviews and you understand how much the players respect him. And that's the one thing about Holiday is that, when the players are surveyed, they all say that Holiday is the best, you know, on-ball defender in the NBA. And I've seen that so far with this Celtics team. but the shot hasn't been there. And I don't know where he's going to land at the end of the season with that shot. I do think he's battling a nagging ankle right now. He looks a little bit slow. Again, I'll go back to that Pacers game. It looked like Halliburton kind of was able to shake him on more than one occasion, and he might just be half a step behind. And in the NBA these days, that's a half a step way too late. So I think it will come. We don't need to see Holiday averaging 20 points a night. We don't. We need to see him getting up into defenders. And Gary, if you remember the beginning of the season when everybody was healthy, Holiday and White, in my opinion, they were the best guard tandem in the NBA. No questions asked, as far as I'm concerned. The best two-way guard tandem in the NBA. So I still have high hopes for that unit, for that backcourt, White and Holiday. I can guarantee you that when, you know, an NBA team's looking at the schedule and they look at their week ahead and they see who they're playing, they see the Boston Celtics. If it's a point guard and they see the Boston Celtics, their reaction is, damn it. Because they do not want to be pressed. They do not want to be checked and guarded 48 minutes, basically, by either Holiday and White. So I still have high hopes for Holiday. But to your point, offensively, he has definitely not met the mark. And so that's something to keep an eye on, definitely.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Okay, Jimmy. Let's switch gears a little bit to the Pats here. I think they're tanking.
Don't get me. You're gonna get me going on the Pats, Gary.
I think they're tanking.
Can you explain what you mean by that? Who's tanking specifically?
I don't think they're going out of their way to win.
Yeah.
Let me put it that way. You know, they get Zappe out there. They can't score.
You mean like would you say that the front office is tanking? The coaches are tanking?
I think the coaching staff, here's my concern, is I think the coaching staff and the front office, I think they're tanking. And I think Bill, in order to save his job, this is a Tanguay conspiracy theory, okay?
I love it. No, I'm all about it.
In order to save his job, he wants to get the first or second pick. Go with another quarterback because he cannot stand Mac Jones. I don't think Mac Jones, we all know Mac Jones wasn't his guy. That was Robert's guy.
Sure.
He wants to get one of these top two quarterbacks, and then he can go to Robert and say, now I can fix this team and maybe get another year out of it. Personally, I don't think Bill O'Brien is this bad of an offensive coordinator. He's just not. You know, I'm not saying he's Charlie Weiss or Josh with Brady, but as we've all found out, you know, these offensive coordinators, when they have Tom Brady with them, they're all pretty good, you know?
Yeah, no.
So
look good as OC.
I don't want to get on Bill O'Brien's ass. I don't think he has anything to work with.
I don't think he has anything to work with. I don't think he can't be as bad as he's been. But if I'm Bill O'Brien, I don't know how many more chances I'm getting. He's kind of been around. He's been around the block here now. It's kind of like McDaniels. It's like these guys, you know, you can go down the line with former, you know, assistants under Belichick that just haven't been able to pan out. I mean, college might be next for some of these guys, but I don't think players tank, Gary. I just think they just all suck. And just to be quite frank with it, there's no talent on this roster.
But I don't think
about this, Gary.
The Patriots are not going to go out of their way to win. That's my tanking. Like, do I say?
I think they're
tanking that they're actually going out and saying, "I'm telling their players to lose," but no. They're kind of letting things play out, and they're okay losing 6-0.
I think the winning culture is definitely gone in that locker room.
So
that definitely plays a part of it. I think out of the 52 guys on the active roster, or 53-man, whatever it is now, I think there's probably 50 guys that you could lose, and you, the team wouldn't be any worse for it. And like, that's how replaceable all these players are. I mean, offense, forget it. Everybody on offense, see you later. I mean, their only good guy was Stevenson, and he's out for a few weeks. They don't have the weapons. The O-line is weak. The running backs, everyone thinks they're running, you know, like I said, Stevenson, and that was it. But running backs are a dime a dozen. And Mac Jones, we won't see him next year, I don't think. Maybe as the backup, but he's not going to be starting next year. They do need a top pick, 1, 2, or 3. Honestly, Gary, I want them to take Marvin Harrison Jr. Get the wide receiver from Ohio State. You need talent at the wide receiver position, regardless of the fact if you can get a quarterback. Okay, I don't know if there's even a quarterback in this year's. I don't think you're going to get one. I think Carolina's too bad, so you're stuck with Drake May as the option, as like the number 3 pick. I don't know if that's the answer. They could go Marvin Harrison in the first round, and then take a flyer on a guy in a later round. Maybe they could go the free agency route. I'll never understand. This is a completely different topic. I'll never understand how Bill and Kraft handled that Brady situation. They let Brady walk. They forced Brady out. Brady didn't. It's such a long story, but Brady didn't just decide one day I'm out. This was long time in the making. They basically forced Brady out. They had no plan B, Gary. They had no plan B, and they still have no plan B to this day. 4 years later, they're worse off now than they were before. So to me, it's unacceptable. I'll say this: there's been some people calling for Belichick to be fired in season. I disagree with that, and I have been the biggest Bill critic for the last few years, not just this year. But I do think he deserves a lot more than getting canned in the middle of the season. I don't think it does anything for your team to do that either. I think you figure out whether or not he's going to be back next year in the offseason. You sit down, Kraft sits down with Bill. They go over the ground rules. Here's what we're going to allow you to be able to do. Here's the money that we're going to allow you to spend. Here's the players that we want and that we want you to be in charge of. And then they make a decision. And they go from there and they word it however they want. Well, but to just say, oh, Bill, you're out, you know, after week 14 or whatever it is, like, that doesn't sit right. I don't think that's a good message to like what the Patriots organization is all about after everything Belichick did. And again, he's really screwed this thing up, and that is going to be part of his legacy, if you want to talk about it, how much he has screwed this up. But I don't think, if you're Kraft and you've made some blunders over the last few years, but this would be a big one to fire him in the middle of the year. I don't think that's going to happen at all.
I agree. And I think it worked out for Brady in the long run, because if he had stayed here, it would have ended badly for him, where he got to go.
Won a bowl.
It was a complete team. He was at the point of his career where he needed a team to carry him, you know, as opposed to the other way around.
He just needed something. He needed something to work with.
He needs some players. Yeah. And they still don't.
It's amazing to me, after all the money they had available, Gary, to spend at free agency a few years ago, they've missed on everybody.
They have.
Every single person they've missed on.
Well, one of the things.
It's unbelievable.
One of the points, Jimmy, that I've always made.
Judon. They hit on Judon. That was it.
Yeah, but one of the points I've always made, and this may have been back when you were in grade school worshiping me, is when Charlie Army was picking the players for Bill Parcells, all those players turned out to be, for the most part, the Patriots' defense that won the first Super Bowl. McGinnis.
Yeah.
Ty Law. Well, Troy Brown on offense. Lawyer Malloy. Teddy Johnson.
Yeah.
All those guys were not picked by Bill.
No.
They were not picked by Belichick. They were picked by Charlie Army and the Parcells crew. Charlie Army went on to run the Rams with Kurt Warner, mm-hmm. who won a Super Bowl, then lost to the Patriots, obviously, in the 01-02 Super Bowl. So Bill's never, I mean, he did it the second time around, but that foundation of defensive players was already here, and he really hasn't been able to replicate it. Now, having said that, I think it's time to blow it up. Doesn't last forever.
It's already blown up.
Yeah, but you got a clean house. You got a clean house.
I'm ready for it. I've been calling for it.
Yeah, you just got a clean house. I like Bill O'Brien. I think he's a good offensive coordinator. He'll land on his feet, or maybe you bring him back here. I don't think I'm not willing. Now, and I love Gerard Mayo, too. I don't know how good of a coach. Gerard, were you at work when he was there?
Yeah.
He's the best.
He's awesome.
Greatest guy ever. I don't know how good of a coach he is because the players suck.
Right.
I don't know if he's a good coach. He doesn't have
anything. The defense looks good, and I know he has more to do with the defense.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it does. But now those
guys. Who's going to run the offense? Yeah, you need a capable offense on this team, and they are so far away. They're so far away.
I don't know. I don't know what to do around there, but I know the coach in Miami. I know the coach in Houston. I know there's a lot of coaches that are around the league that are just making this group look silly. So they're out there.
It's sad, and it's not gonna change overnight. They need to really work at it. They
gotta
need
start
to,
over, man.
They need to draft well too, which hasn't happened.
You gotta start over.
So
it's time to rip off the scab.
And honestly, it starts with Belichick.
He's got to go.
It's at the point. I've been saying it for. I've been anti-Belichick since the day Brady walked out the door. I've been anti because I just thought that was the worst thing that he could have done. It was just like pride. Pride got in the way, man. I guess it's going to be a really good documentary.
He just thought that Brady, you know, Bill's thing was always get rid of a player a year too early than a year too late. And he but then when you look at what he brought in, I mean, come on.
Every guy he's brought in has been a year too late, at least. Yeah, I mean, as early as most recently as this offseason, Gary, he lets Myers go when he signs Smith-Schuster for the same money. Myers is having a great year in Oakland, and Smith-Schuster can't even get on the field.
I know.
So what's the time?
It's time.
Yeah,
Jimmy, on a final note here, I understand that you took a lovely young lady and you saw Brett Eldridge.
I saw Brett Eldridge Tuesday night at the MGM.
And his Christmas concert. See, Christmas people don't know the side of you. You're a music man. You're a romantic. How did it go?
I have a strong romantic. It was a great time. Brett Eldridge makes it easy, man. He does like an hour and 15 of just Christmas music. He's got like he's got a few originals, but he plays all the hits. They deck out the whole, you know, the whole venue.
Oh, the Wang, right?
It was at the MGM, the new one at Fenway now.
Oh, the MGM.
Yeah, so the set's all done. We hit up Loco at Fenway. There's a new Loco down there. It's a taco Mexican place, and that place was decked out in all Christmas gear. So that was an easy one. It made it easy for me, but it was a lot of fun. And I'm a music man, Gary. You're gonna get a second date out of this?
We'll see.
I mean,
so far the number's correct, right? It's not a fake number.
That's a real number. It's a real number.
Okay. All right.
I saw
Brett Eldridge with Darius Rucker.
That's a great one.
Yeah, that was a great time.
You're a country guy too, then. Okay.
Jimmy.
I didn't know you're a country music guy. Look at us. We should go together next time. I'll take you.
Let's not get crazy. When I was in college at the good old University of Maine, I worked for a radio station as a disc jockey called WBGW. And you know what the BGW stood for?
I do not.
Bangor Goes Western. I was a country music disc jockey.
No kidding.
We were number one in the market. And I used to MC my fraternity brothers. I used to bring them because they'd let us drink for free. I used to MC at this place called The Roundup in Ellsworth, Maine, right? And I would introduce the acts like Billy Crash Craddock. I met Reba McEntire. Before she was Reba McEntire, man.
Reba herself.
Yeah, the Bellamy Brothers. We had all of them there. And then this place was so
crazy.
I feel
like you could croon, Gary. I feel like you could get up there.
I'm tone deaf, man. I can't say. So anyways, I do. I love country music. Country music now is basically pop. I mean,
it's very poppy now. Very pop.
I mean, they got some great, and everybody's mixing in, you know, rap and pop and all that stuff. Yep. So, but at the Roundup one night, some guy came in because his wife was with another man. He went out and got his chainsaw.
Oh, no.
And he took apart the doors.
This is Bangor
the doors
life
and
right
chased
here.
The guy. And then the owner, Cooper Friend, great guy, the next night he put up a big sign that said, no chainsaws allowed.
So, that's fair. That is a country. Bangor story, right?
Yeah, a lot of El Caminos in that parking lot, man. A lot of El Caminos in that parking lot.
I bet, yeah. Car with the truck bed right there. No, I'm definitely into the country scene, the pop scene. I got to get you to a Jimmy Canada show, Jimmy Westfall show. That's my stage name, Westfall. do some West, pop.
What? Jimmy Westfall?
Jimmy Westfall. Yeah, that's
Jimmy
my
Westfall.
Stage name.
I like it.
Right, I got to get you to a show, man. They're fun. I got one coming up actually this Friday. I don't expect to see you at that one, but we'll get together for something. How about that?
All right. I'll see if I can get the missus to join us.
Yes. Jimmy Cannon, I got one last request. Well, I got one last request for you. Do you remember, obviously you remember this, but this my first like memories of you, Gary.
Oh,
obviously
boy.
A young buck here. Me and my buddies watching Celtics on the old FSN, right? Back in the glory days, Dickerson, Coach Willie May. I don't know what he's up to these days, but Donnie. I need Donnie, Miss Donnie. I don't even know what he's up to. But I have a request, and maybe you can pull some strings. We need to get the Foxwoods commercial back from the glory days. Pop the cork, finger snapping, spin the wheel.
Oh,
round and round we go. You remember that commercial?
Yes, I do.
I don't know why they got rid of that, Gary.
I do.
Take a chance, make it happen. Pop the cork, finger snapping, spin the wheel, round and round we go. Life is good. Life is sweet.
Those were the days, Jimmy, but now you don't even have to leave your house because you can just bet on FanDuel.
You can. That's a good point.
You know, but that
was a great segue.
That was a great time. Yeah, that was a great time.
I need that commercial back. So do what you can.
I'll see what I can do. All right. So you're going to be in for Bob Ryan again next week.
Oh, wow. I passed the test.
Oh, my God.
Has Bob ever heard of Wally Pipp? He might be in trouble.
He could be in trouble. Or maybe
this might finally be it for Bob.
We might add a third podcast to the Tanguay stable. We'll see how it goes.
Oh, my God. This was fun. Thank you for having me.
Jimmy Toscano in for Bob Ryan, brought to you by FanDuel, the official wagering partner of the CLNS Media Networks. Score this NFL season with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 moneyline bet. That's $150 if your team wins. Jimmy, until next week.
Can't wait.